Morning, morning, morning. Morning, everyone. Welcome to Rock Church. Can I ask all y'all to stand up? Y'all ready for God to speak to y'all? Let's lift our hands up, lift to the ceiling. When we take a deep breath in, we're going to lift up higher. Let's take a deep breath in and lift to the ceiling. Hold it. One more time. I lied. One more time. Hold it. Hold it. Come on, young people, hold it. Lord, thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you that we're here today. Tomorrow's not promised. I pray you bless us today. I pray you challenge us today. I pray we receive your word as breath of life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through you. So we come humbly before you and say we surrender with our hands up, saying guide and lead and direct us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Before I start, let me just say a couple things. I've had some dear friends of mine get cancer recently, and I want to encourage all of you to be very careful of what you eat. When you go into a grocery store and there's a health food section, what's the rest for? I want you to be very careful what you eat. Sugar is very bad for you. Sugar feeds cancer. And I just want you to get exercise. Don't believe that you could eat what you want and do what you want and be healthy. I'll just stop right there. I need to do a whole thing on health because it breaks my heart. Let me say one more thing. I told her, whatever any doctor tells you, make sure you understand what they say and always get a second opinion. Make sure you understand what they say. And I've had doctors, just a few, get very frustrated, especially if I'm in there with my wife and I'm asking questions and I don't understand. I'm like, yo, we ain't going any further. I need to understand. So make sure you understand what they tell you and always get a second opinion. There's nothing against doctors. It's your body, though. You just need to understand. Amen? Amen. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, Old Testament. There was a guy who went fishing with his grandson, and as they were fishing, the granddad was an experienced fisherman. The grandson obviously didn't know anything about fishing. So as they were fishing, every time the grandson caught a big fish, he'd throw it back. And then when he'd catch a little fish, he would keep it. Then he'd catch a big fish and throw it back. Then he catch a little fish and he keep it. This went on all day. So by the time they got home, the grandson had all these little fish and his grandfather had seen him throw all the big ones, the nice ones back. And so he asked his grandson, why do you keep the little ones and throw the big ones back? He said, because my mother only has a little tiny pan. God has given, I would imagine, all of y'all a big dream that you've thrown back because your faith is this big. And you may throw it back because you have this little voice in your head saying, you'll never do it, you never graduated. I was a horrible student. Not because I'm not dumb. I just didn't apply myself, right? And the devil tries to play that in my head. And so the devil's gonna say, you're not smart enough, you're not experienced enough, you're not trained enough, are they gonna really listen to you? And God keeps bringing this dream back to you about what he wants to do in your life, and you keep throwing it back into water. Every year we do a series called Heart for the House, which we're in right now. We're in week 3. And Heart for the House is always about casting vision for what we want to do the next year. We've been casting vision about reaching the next generation next year with evangelism, trying to raise about $2 million to do all the things we want to do, one of which is to blow up our youth ministry and children's ministry, young adult ministry. Another thing is to have a countywide youth evangelistic event, training churches in the training that we're putting together. And we're renting out either the sports arena or Viejas. We're gonna do that Mother's Day weekend. And so we wanted, these are the dreams we have for The Rock, but we've been challenging you for your dream. What has God put on your heart to do with your life? The worst thing you can do is die thinking, I wish I would've, coulda. You wanna die, man, I tried. Whether it works out or not is not the issue, really, that you tried and you did your best. And so we've been challenging you and encouraging you to be thinking about what has God put on your heart? What is it that when we take this offering that we're gonna take next week, at the end of next week, we'll talk about here in a minute, that you are not only investing in what the church is gonna do, you are also investing in what God has placed on your heart. When you leave here today, you're gonna hear this twice today, at least twice. When you leave here today, you're gonna get an envelope and a card, and on the card it says, by faith I'm believing for you. By faith I'm believing for me. I wanna get married. I wanna get a wife. I wanna get a husband. I wanna get a guy that has more than 7 teeth. I want to start a business. I want to get a house in San Diego. You need a miracle for that. Okay. I want to get a new car. I've been taking the bus for 7 years. I want to get a car. I want to get a car. I want to have a career. I want to go to school. What is your dream? And don't think of something that you can do. That's not the point. Anytime you have a vision, and I've lived this multiple times in my life, and I'm living it right now. Anytime you have a start and have a vision that you're gonna step out on something, you are always the only one that believes it in the beginning, because God gave it to you. And sometimes feeling alone is uncomfortable, where we say, I don't wanna be uncomfortable. I wanna get everybody involved right away. No, sometimes you have to be the only one that believes it, and then you gotta take it to other people. So when God gives you something, the devil's gonna start whispering in your ear to kill it. And so today I want to encourage you not only to believe in your dream, but I want to encourage you that one of the things that can open up the floodgate for you to believe and start to pursue what God has called you to do is the principle of putting God first. Everyone say God is first. Raise your hand if you believe that God should be first in everything you do. Okay, very good, very good. If God is first in everything you do, then God can then begin to trust you that what he gives you and what he assigns to you is going to be stewarded properly. And the story we're gonna look at is a woman named Hannah. Hannah could not have a baby. She was married to Elkanah. Elkanah had another wife, Peninnah. Peninnah had kids, and Peninnah was heckling Hannah because Hannah had no kids. And Hannah was praying for a kid, and she had no baby. And then finally she went to the temple, we're gonna read this in a minute, and she's going to surrender. She says, she's gonna tell God, God, if you give me a son, this is her first child, the principle of first fruits. If you give me this child, I will surrender the child back to you. If you put God first in everything you do, your life will change. When you wake up, the first thing you think, and by the way, when you wake up, there's a battle for your thoughts. Has anyone recognized that there's a battle for your thoughts when you wake up? Because when you wake up, the devil's, and I'm not saying Satan himself, but his demons and his influence, and he wants to whisper in your ear before you open your eyes, because he wants your mind. And the first thing you said is, God, thank you for waking me up. God, thank you for giving me breath. God, I acknowledge this is your day. First thing. Imagine if the first thing you read was the Bible, not the newspaper, not social media. Imagine if the first thing you heard was worship, not Instagram. Imagine if the first thing you said or thought when you saw the person that don't like you. How many of y'all got someone who don't like you? Okay, well, how about this? Everybody raise your hand. How many of y'all got someone who don't like you? This guy came to me one day, literally, he says, how do you deal with all the criticism? He said this to me. And I said, what criticism? I don't know, right? He's like, you don't know. I was like, nah, bro, I get it. But how about if the first thing you thought when you saw your critic, your enemy was, God bless them. First thing. Imagine the first thing you ate in the morning was not something processed and made in a factory, but it was made to give you nourishment. You would feel very different. I'm telling you, you would feel very different. Now, how many of y'all don't like cold water? Like, you don't like the cold plunge? Anybody? Let's try that one more time. How many of y'all don't like the cold plunge? Okay. As you know, I've been doing that for several, I don't even know, half a year or so. I hate cold. You know, I just don't like cold. But what the cold plunge does, because I do it in the morning for the most part, is I go in, and when I get out, no matter what the temperature is outside, I don't dry off, and I walk around, and I tell cold, you cannot defeat me. Imagine if you could look at fear and say, you can't defeat me. You could look at being nervous, you can't defeat me. You could look at your lack of education. And the devil saying that you're not educated. There's a difference between being uneducated and dumb. Uneducated just means you haven't received information. Dumb means that you don't have the capacity to understand it. None of you are dumb. You may act it because you've been convinced that what you are, but God did not make you dumb. Imagine if you said, "I, none of that stuff scares me because I am in line with God. I'm going to think like God. First thing I'm going to say, I'm going to respond like God. First thing I'm going to eat is going to be healthy. The first thing I listen to is going to be God's worship. My first meal, if I have a vision, the first thing I'm going to say is, God, this vision that I'm getting right now is going to honor you." And so as we're talking today, I want you to think about this principle of first fruits, that you put God first. And by the way, in your giving, God doesn't want your leftovers. He deserves first. How many of y'all believe God deserves first? Oh, and everything you do. And by the way, when you go to a chiropractor, what you are doing is this is your spine. Okay. When you go, it's supposed to be like that, but it looks like that. And when you go to a chiropractor, you are aligning your spine the way it was designed. When you pray and do the things according to the word of God, you are aligning all the aspects of your life to be in alignment with the kingdom of God. And when that happens, blessings flow. They can't not flow, because thy will on earth as it is in heaven will flow through that alignment. So here's the story. Hannah is trying to have a baby. She can't have a baby. God is the giver of life, and she is praying in the temple to have a baby. Now, before I go any further, because I love praying for people who can't have babies that they can get pregnant, I want to pray for women who can't have a baby, and let's see what happens. I mean, nothing's going to happen now, but just boop. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Oh, Lord. Eyes closed, heads bowed on the campuses. If you feel so inclined to raise your hand, if you are someone who wants to get pregnant, especially if you couldn't get camping pregnant, just lift your hand up by faith if you want to. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, you see all those women by faith. They are reaching out to you for a miracle. And we pray in Jesus' name for the giver of life to touch their body, touch their soul, give them peace not to worry. And we pray you bring into kingdom alignment whatever physiologically needs to be corrected, if anything. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for what he's going to do. Come on. And for all you ladies and fellas too, I guess, I've prayed that multiple times, and we've had many, many people come and say, "I got pregnant." Now, and so I'm not saying it's going to happen to you, but I'm just saying I do it because I've seen it happen. God does do that. So open womb. So he's a giver of life. Okay, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "Then she, Hannah, made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child.'" Now, she's asking specifically for a boy. She ain't asking for just whatever. She's being specific. And by the way, when you pray, you need to be specific. Be specific. Because if you want to tell God, "I know what I want." Now, doesn't mean God's going to do it. But if you don't ask, you don't have. Because you can say, "God, give me a man." And he gives you just brother with his knuckles are dragging on the ground. And you say, you need to be specific. Okay, be specific. You want a guy that stands up straight, right? Okay? I didn't know that. You were vague. Okay. And here's the cool thing. When you pray specific prayers and God blesses you specifically, you're like, "Oh, snap." My wife and I are in the middle of a miracle of something. I've heard her pray every day for the last months and months, and in the back of my mind saying, "It's not going to happen." And in the back of her mind, she was saying, "That's not going to happen." It is happening. You need to be specific. And you need to be consistent. You need to wear God out. You need to wear him out. It's like, here, she, here they come again. They ask me the same thing. Just wear him out. Wear him out. I'm telling you. Okay? There's actually a parable in the Bible about a woman who wore out the judge asking for justice over and over again. And God, Jesus said, do that. Don't be the, well, dear God, bless me. Oh, he didn't bless me. Oh, forget it. Don't go home. I'm not pregnant. It's 4 o'clock. I ain't pregnant yet. Don't do that. Just give it time. It says, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. He'd be a Nazarite, like Samson was a Nazarite. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, the priest, watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Now, when I hear drunk people, they talk. Like, so this must have been a different kind of drunk. We don't say anything. Eli said, how long will you be drunk? Put wine away from you. She says, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief and pain, I have spoken until now. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked for of him. Sometimes we're asking God for something, but we're holding on to an idol. God, I want this, but I can't let go of this. Well, you have to let go of this to grab onto this. And there may be something that you're holding on to and under the banner of trusting God that you have to let go of. So she was asking for a baby, I want a son. For whatever reason, God didn't give it to her. But then when she said, Lord, if you give the baby to me, give me a son, I will give him back to you, first fruits. The first one I get, I'm committing to you. It may be that you're holding on to a grudge against somebody. I'm gonna tell you one of the biggest killers of joy, one of the biggest killers of relationship, one of the biggest killers of your health is unforgiveness. Because when you don't forgive somebody, you are holding, this is what's happening to you emotionally and even physically. You're doing this. And it may be like this, or it may be like this. And you can't operate by faith like that. You can't operate in peace. You can't be generous and be thankful and be loving if you're like this. You gotta let it go. And let me tell you something, the peace of God will fulfill your heart. God's peace, and it'll heal you emotionally, spiritually, physically. Forgiveness. You may be holding on to greed. I have to have more than that person. This is not a competition. Because I promise you, if you get more than that person, someone's gonna have more than you. You're never gonna have the most. You're just not. You're never gonna be the cutest. You're just not. You just need to be the cutest to one person. That's it. You know what I'm saying? As long as my wife thinks I look good, I think she look good. Hey, you know, go do your thing. You're not gonna be the smartest, you're not gonna be the cutest, you're not gonna be the richest. Lord, I just wanna be who you created me to be, and I need to let go of all idols and say, you are first in my life. And so when Hannah said, God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. She was applying the principle of first fruits in her life. I'm gonna challenge you in five components of the first fruits in our giving, that when you receive a blessing financially, that you don't say, God, I'll give to you if I have leftovers. Nope, God, I'm gonna give to you first because you are the source. So number one, giving God your first fruit secures God's blessing. How many of you want God's blessing in your life? It sounds like a rhetorical question or a dumb question, but we have to remind ourselves that we want God's blessing, not man's blessing. Say this with me. Dear God, I want your blessing, not man's blessing. You can't tell yourself enough, because a lot of times man will get, you'll get the okie doke. Some person will offer you something and you think it's good, and your friend's like, wow, that's awesome. And this little voice says to you, uh-uh. You don't want that. It may even be better than anything you've ever gotten before. And God says, I got something better for you. You want God's blessing. Listen, look what the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. If you're going to tithe, the very first 10%. The very first. And with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Okay, God, I'm giving you of my first fruits, and I'm going to declare, when you give God of your first, you should declare and acknowledge that you are going to hold God to his promise. Hey, let's practice. Say, God, I'm going to hold you to your promise. Let's say it one more time. Take a deep breath in. Say, God. Take a deep breath in. Say, I'm going to hold you to your promise. All day long. God can keep his promise. He ain't scared of that. Can you imagine you saying, Lord, I'm giving of my tithes and offerings, and I'm going to hold you to your promise of Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, and everything else we're going to read. And I want to see what you're going to do. Call them out. You're not really calling them out like you're calling out your homie down the street, but you are saying, God, this is what you said. And God's like, I can handle that. I wrote it. I'm going to stand behind it. But you better be ready when I bless you not to hold on to it. Then it says, number two, giving God your first fruits acknowledges God as the source. Say amen if God is the source of all your blessing. Amen? Amen. It's not you. I studied. Where'd you get the brain? Where'd you get the opportunity to have something to study? The opportunity to be in a school? Who got you accepted? Who paid your tuition? Who gave you the opportunity to get the money to pay your tuition? God, 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 God. Who gives you the ability to hear what I'm telling you right now? God. God, 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 God. Everything's God. God, you're the source. You're the source of us being in this building. You're the source of us being here today. You're the source of us knowing you, having the ability to have a relationship with you, be blessed by you. And you could tell God that all day long. And guess what? The devil goes, I don't want to hear that. Because the devil wants you to think it's you. The devil doesn't even want you to think it's him. He just doesn't want you to think it's God. He will give credit everywhere else except God, because he wants the credit, but he don't need to get the credit directly. He can get it indirectly by you just not giving it to God. God is the source. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Old Testament, the Jews are getting ready to go into the promised land. And it says, this shall be when you come into the promised land, which the Lord has given you, he's given it to you as an inheritance, and you possess and dwell in it, that you should take some of the fruit of all the first of all the fruit, produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. In other words, when they go into the land, God's going to be in the temple or tabernacle or in a certain place. When you go into the land, I want you to harvest your fruit and vegetables. And the very first part of what you harvest, you bring it to wherever you guys are worshiping God. And you shall go to the one who is the priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord God swore to our fathers to give. God is the source. Imagine if you, it's just even now, God is the source of my clothes. God is the source of my body. God is the source of my ability to walk out of here or be wheelchaired out of here. God is the source of my church. God is the source of my apartment, my food, my job, my relationships, my ability to get over pain. God is the source of all that. Say amen. Amen means you agree. We have to remind ourselves of that, because what causes you to be discouraged and depressed and lonely and scared is when you start to think, you got to do all that. You got to produce for the next day. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to work. I'm not saying you don't have to be a good steward. But at the end of the day, God is providing you, and he created you. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance, Ephesians 2:10 says. He's already prepared stuff in advance for you to do. So your job is to continue to acknowledge God as the source of everything in your life and walk in that reality. Number three, God Giving God your first fruits demonstrates more to come. This is so awesome. This is my favorite of all these. Hannah gave God her first son. She had five more kids. Let me say it a little different. I can't have a baby. I can't have a baby. Dear God, I can't have a baby. Okay, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. She has a son. She gives him back. Then she's pregnant again. Then she's pregnant again. Then she's pregnant again. Then she's pregnant again. Then she might have said, okay, God, I'm done. She got blessed to overflow. Six kids is a whole lot of kids. I had three. That's a whole lot of kids. Look what the Bible says. You shall, Exodus 22:29, you shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices, the firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me. When you give God, let me tell you, let's say you're a shepherd, you got sheep, and your sheep, you're depending on the sheep to have babies so you could have more sheep, because if they don't have babies, they're going to die and you have no sheep. That means you're not going to have sheep fur and whatever else you get from the sheep. Are y'all following me? Okay, so if you have a sheep and you need more sheep, but if this sheep doesn't have any more babies, when this sheep dies, you have no more sheep. If you have an ox, and you're going to have an oxen, and you got to get meat from the ox and milk from the cows. If this ox only has one baby, and you give the baby and sacrifice the baby, then what do you have left unless it has another baby? So when you give the first one away, you are saying, God, I'm trusting that this ox is going to have another one. When you give the baby sheep away, then you're trusting that the sheep's going to have another one. So you take the baby sheep and you tell the mother, I'll be right back. And you take the mother sheep over here, and then you go back over here and you say, you better have another one. So when you give God first, you are trusting that God is going to fill the void of what you just created by your faith. So you're saying, God, I'm giving to you faithfully and I'm trusting. You say this to him, that more is coming. Right, God? I'm trusting you. You declare that. You need to declare Bible's truth over your life. Say it over your life. I am a child of God. God loves me. He's going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. I am doing this by faith. You declare God's word over your life and watch God do something in your life and change your heart. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus died, and when he rose from the dead, he was the first one. It was the deposit on more to come. Look what it says. It says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ's first fruits, he rose first. Afterward, those who are in Christ are coming. When you give first, you are making a pledge that you believe more is coming. You believe more is coming. Number 4, giving God first fruits secures a blessing on the rest. Romans 11:16. For if the first fruit is holy, if you get your increase, you get your check, first goes to God. If that is set aside, holy means to be set aside for God. You set that aside for God first, the rest is holy. Look what the Bible says. If the first fruit is holy, the lump is holy. If the root is holy, the branches are holy. God, I'm securing a blessing on all the rest of what you gave me by blessing you first and honoring you first by what you first gave me. Can I get amen? Does that make sense to y'all? And lastly, giving God your first fruits makes us more like Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He only had one, so it was his first and his last. That whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to offer some of the most precious things I have. If you call me to, I trust you. But I also know that the more I'm like you, the more I'm going to be blessed. The more I trust you, the more you're going to entrust me with. The more I give to you first, the more I'm showing you I trust more is to come. In a minute, we're going to watch a video. It's going to be a 3.5-minute video of someone who trusted God in a very testing, trying time. And then we're going to hear a few words from him, and then we're going to close the service out. So check out this video, and I pray that God would challenge you in your giving.
Growing up in Brazil, I grew up in a Christian church. My mom taught us how to pray, and she taught us the entire Bible. She created us a deep root of a relationship with God. When we went through tough times, my dad was always trying to teach me something. He always taught me, be faithful to God through difficult situations. Here in San Diego, I was able to put a business together, a construction business. I was doing good. God was blessing me. I started coming to The Rock, I believe in 2005. When I started giving, in the beginning for me it was hard. I could not connect how giving and worship, I couldn't connect those two together. And then something changed. There was a moment in my life that became an act of true worship. I learned that. The 2008 crisis came about. We started losing everything. Collectors calling, everybody threatened me. And that was one of the first time that I had depression coming into my life. I remember the teachings of my mom. When you go through a tough time, you pray more. I start going through the Bible. I could hear God saying, I'm here with you. Even though I was losing everything, there was peace on my spirit. I knew that he was with me. So I came to church, and then I had my checkbook with me. And everything I had to my name was $700. $700, and I gave almost half of it. I was in a dividing moment. Either I believe who he is, or everything that I learned is fake, so I'm gonna trust. The service ends, I'm out in the parking lot. My flesh was speaking to me, you did the wrong thing. How are you gonna make the ends meet? But my spirit was in peace. Next Sunday, as I'm going to church, I get a phone call from a friend that lives here in Point Loma. This guy is an atheist, doesn't believe in God and nothing. I drove by his house, was down the street from the Point Loma campus, and he just handed me an envelope. And he was like, you can go, I gotta go. I was like, okay. I get into my car and I drive because I don't want to be late to the service. And then as the worship starts, I pulled the envelope. There was a $300 check. I text him, why did you give me? He was like, I remember that about 2 years ago, I didn't have a car and you loaned me a car. And I felt that I need to give you something for that. And I said, God, you're giving me back what I just gave you last week. I put my head down and I started crying because I was like, I'm gonna need this $300 now. I gave. Monday morning, I get a phone call from this construction company saying, I've heard about your experience. I want to hire your business. And God blessed me beyond my imaginations. Whatever I had back then, God doubled it. Through all of this, there is something I learned. The only thing that matters is his presence. He wanted to test me to this process, test me really hard. But I'm thankful because the rewards is able to see him. I always thought that in order to give, it had to be something big. Like the amount impresses God. Little did I know that the whole journey was about trust. It was about the expression of love. We need to give something that's proportioned to our love and to how much we trust him. Everything that I have, it's his. And he's giving me the privilege to worship him through this. He has no problem turning where you are to where you have to be. But he does want to look at you and see, this person trusts me with everything.
Whenever you hear stories like that, you're like, well, that's him. God is, the Bible says that God, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone who will trust him so he could be faithful to them. And it's really about, Lord, pick me. I've asked Rubens, with an S at the end, Rubens, to share a story, a very quick story about what changed him, what what caused the turnaround in his life, because here we are 10 years later and his business is much, much, much bigger than it was back there. Why don't you tell us what turned your life, business around?
Friends, this testimony, in 2008, I lost everything to my name. I lost 2 houses, 4 cars, my business. I went bankrupt. And I was mad at God, so mad at God. I went to battle depression. And I remember going to the garage, my garage, looking for a document. I stumbled across a box, and it was my bank statements. And I felt in my heart God saying, open this box. And it was my bank statement from 7 years. And God told me, look for tithing, look for offering. And I'm going through and I don't find it anything. I look up and he said, why are you mad at me? You have not been faithful to me. I don't owe you anything. I took all the bank statements out of those boxes, put it in the ground. I wept over all of them, cried to God, repent, and ask for his forgiveness. And God said, get up, look up to me. I forgive you, and I'll give you one more chance. Friends, my business has been restored. Sitting on this middle seat here at the Point Loma campus, God said, I'm gonna restore everything to your name, everything that you have lost. And now I come 10 years later because of the name of Jesus to tell all of you and the kingdom of hell that God has given me my 2 houses back, my 4 cars back, my business back. Everything has been restored. And the same Reuben that's here, there's gonna be a bunch of Reubens coming up here giving testimony about business, about finances, and everything's gonna change in your life. That's what I believe. The authority of the church rules the entire world.
Amen.
I believe that,
amen.
Pastor Miles.
Amen, 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 amen. Before he prays for us, when you leave, you're gonna get this card in this envelope. And on this card, I want to encourage you to write down what your dream is, what God has put on your heart for your life. And then in this envelope, you can put that in the envelope, and then you can come to the services that we're going to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to put the information on the screen at all our campuses, all the information on the screen for every campus. And we're going to have an opportunity for you to take your pledge, your gift, put it in an offering. We're gonna pray over you. We're gonna have the pastors and staff praying over you, take communion with you, worship with you, to cement the vision you have for your life and for our church. And we're gonna have a special offering. If you can't do that, you can go to sdrock.com and give. And I would encourage you in 2 things. If you're not tithing, start there. Just say, I'm gonna tithe every 2 weeks, whatever it is, on my paycheck. That's the basic. That's step one. That's what he's talking about, just doing that. And once you are faithful there and you get used to that and you get used to seeing God bless you, seeing, this is not something I'm just going to do or it's going to hurt. No, I'm going to be blessed and I'm going to look for the blessing. And when you play hide and seek, you count and then you open your eyes and you intentionally go look for something. This is where you do something and you look for something. God, show me the breadcrumbs of blessing which are going to lead to more obedience and stewardship. This can't be just blind. We're just doing this. We don't see anything. And so that's my encouragement to challenge you. I'm gonna have them pray for us. But when you get this, please check the barcode out and come Thursday, Friday, or Saturday this week to one of the campuses. Bring your offering, bring your commitment, but also bring your dream so we can pray over you and bless you. We're gonna have our staff at all the locations. We're gonna have a cross. You're gonna pin it on the cross and make a commitment to God. Amen? Amen. Did you get this one when you get out? If you could pray for us.
Lord God, I thank you for this service. And I thank you that tonight God's delivering our church, changing our heart. I believe that the Spirit of God is moving in everybody's heart, cleaning their heart, and you're gonna be able to trust the Lord Almighty God. I believe families are gonna be restored, business are gonna grow. I see people going in high positions
and God will do a transformation of people's finances. I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. You're not gonna touch in the finances of this church, and these people will come and give testimony before you. In Jesus' name, I believe he will prosper this church, and all around the world, we're gonna have a rock church because of the name of God. Amen.
Amen.